The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter. Find out more. Go to radiogeneral.co.uk.
This is
Warrington Hospital's Feel Better Station.
Radio General.
Hello and welcome to the final hooter here on Radio General and also via loverugbyleague.com. This is our look at the rugby league scene and what is going on up and down the game. So over the course of the next, 45 to 50 minutes, we're going to look at the results from last week from the Super League, from Championship, from League One. We're going to talk about some of the issues that are going on in the game, and we've got some Super League audio lined up for you. So we're going to be hearing from Tony Smith of the Warrington Wolves, from Sean O'Loughlin of the Wigan Warriors, from Justin Holbrook from St Helens, and Rangi Chase speaking from Widnes Vikings. So plenty to come.
Find out more. Go to radiogeneral.co.uk.
This is
Warrington Hospital's Feel Better Station.
Radio General.
So without further ado, let us get on with the show. Normally I'd be joined in the studio by Adrian Jackson, but sadly he can't be here this evening, so it's just me talking rugby league. I mean, it's my favourite subject, isn't it, to be honest? And, what happened last week? Let us first of all take a look at the Super League results. So, Catalans Dragons 10, Wigan Warriors 32, Huddersfield Giants 40, Widnes Vikings 0, Salford Red Devils 24, Leeds Rhinos 50, St Helens 19, Hull FC 12, Wakefield Trinity 24, Castleford Tigers 25, and Warrington Wolves 50, Lee Centurions 10. And let's put some meat on the bones. So, for example, in the Wigan game, what a game it was for Joe Burgess. Hat-trick he scores. He scores the only try in the first half for the Warriors, and then goes and adds two more after the break. So he certainly had fun in the sun down in Perpignan, didn't he? There was also a first try of the season there for Sam Tompkins, and George Williams kicked six goals from seven attempts. At Huddersfield Giants, Widnes Vikings were appalling, in fairness. They trailed by 24 points to nil at half-time, and things just got worse. There was two tries scored in the game by Jermaine McGilvery, and on-loan Martin Ridyard kicked six goals from seven attempts. Over at Salford, and there's been an investigation launched in the aftermath of this game, following an alleged incident involving the referee James Child, and a fan throwing beer at him, I think, or throwing something or some sort of description at him. It's not what we really want at rugby league games, so let's hope that that can be stamped out and eradicated. But back onto where the action is, and despite Ben Murdoch-Masilla crossing for another two tries as far as the Salford Red Devils were concerned, Leeds Rhinos too strong, with Briscoe scoring twice, Watkins going on the scoreboard. He also kicked three goals, and Jordan Lilly celebrated the signing of a new three-year deal with the Leeds Rhinos, with kicking four goals from six attempts. Salford were well out of the game at half-time. Leeds led by 36 points to six at that stage. Amidst all the errors, there was a game that threatened to break out at St Helens, and St Helens eventually snatched it. Percival was the main difference again. Two tries he scored, he kicked three goals. But there was also an interesting drop goal right near the end from young Richardson, who's been recalled. Obviously, there's injury to Matty Smith regarding his eye. We don't know quite how long he's going to be out of action for. And, it's nice to see Richardson being given the chance again, because his chance all but seemed to have ended under the previous coaching of Kieran Cunningham, who threw the number 7 jersey at him at the start of the season. Saints had that terrible start, like everybody knows. He lost his place. Kieran lost his job, and he's been mulling about in the reserves. He went up to the Championship just last week as well. And he's impressed Justin Holbrook enough to be given a further chance in the St Helens first team. Tell you what, it was really, really close, wasn't it, between Wakefield Trinity and Castleford Tigers. You wouldn't have thought that at half-time, though. Wakefield led by 16 points to nil, and I can't believe that they let that one slip, to be honest. But Luke Gale, the man of the moment, certainly for the Castleford Tigers, dropping a goal right at the end in addition to his 4-from-4 with the boot. Warrington Wolves, they had, well, I'm going to describe it as an easy win, to be honest, against Lee Centurions. Lee started all bim, vigour, bluster at the start of the game. First 5 minutes, lay siege to the Warrington line. Couldn't get through. It was the same story in the second half. Warrington, they were even able to cope with Ben Westwood getting sin-binned after 8 minutes. And they came back with great aplomb. Tom Lynham scored 4 tries and he was doing all kinds of different finishes. There was athletic dives into the corner. There was bulldozing efforts. I tell you what, Matty Dawson must have been absolutely pig sick of him because he was the winger opposite. Dawson, to his credit, never gave up. Scored a try himself in addition to a Ben Reynolds effort. But they were just purely consolation. And Warrington, with Stephen Ratchford really leading the way. I thought he was excellent, by the way, Stephen Ratchford. Really, really good. They really dominated and deserved to win by 50 points to 10. I tell you what, that actually leads us into our first lot of audio. So what I'm going to do, we're going to go over to Steve Manning. And he chatted with Justin Holbrook, first of all. So this is the St Helens coach discussing his side's 19-12 victory against Hull.
Well, Justin, at the game won, but it was a hell of a game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was unfortunately really tough conditions. The heavens opened up right on kickoff and made it really slippery out there for obviously both teams. But just really happy with the commitment from our side tonight.
They showed the character from 6-0 down midway through that first half, and then I don't know what it is about this Hooter. You're going at half time 2 points up with Percy's goal.
Yeah, it was really important to sneak in front, I think, in those conditions. And I thought we had the better of the first sort of 25-30 minutes and come close to land a few tries early. Unfortunately, wasn't to be, but important to lead at half time.
And then I think Guaro just said, me watching it myself, I thought you dominated that second half for territory and position, but you got 14-6 up, but then it just needed that other try, didn't it? And then, like a Jack Russell, they were on your ankle and they came back.
Yeah, definitely, you know, and they're a good side to come back. Yeah, I agree, you know, we did dominate that second half, but couldn't get that killer try that we needed. And to their credit, they got one, then kicked the 40-20 and had us under pressure. So, but, you know, we're defending really well and we show that again tonight.
Danny Richardson was superb, and I know we've got Matty Smith, the man with the golden right boot, but Danny Richardson isn't a bad sub, and that drop goal, it gave you that 7-point buffer that you needed.
Yeah, it was great for a young guy to kick that for us. You know, he's a good kicker and he's a good young halfback, so really good for him to kick that tonight.
Good praise there from Justin Holbrook and his side managing to overcome all the errors that were in the game. There's a big piece in the Rugby League press this week saying about the amount of errors that were in that game. 39 in total, 21 of them coming the way of Hull FC, 18 of them going the way of St Helens, but St Helens just edging that one by 19 points to 12. I've talked about Tony Smith's side, Warrington, bashing Lee. Well, Steve Manning, he's been a busy man this week. He caught up with Tony Smith and it was a wide-ranging discussion.
Well, Tony, first of all, congratulations on, well, I suppose you'd say, is it a welcome win?
Yeah, it was a good performance, which was welcome. You know, the performance overall was pretty solid. I thought we defended well and like some of our attack last week, I thought we, you know, had a lot of energy and a bit more free-flowing in the way that we attacked. So it was a welcome performance as well as a welcome win.
And it was an 80-minute performance as well, wasn't it? And I suppose a bonus, getting 50 points, which would have pleased the fans as well as yourself.
Yeah, that's right. But once again, I'm going to say the defence was really solid. And you're right, not far off an 80-minute performance. We had just a couple of slip-ups, but overall it was solid, and you know, some players, you know, had some of their better performances in that game. So hopefully we can build on that and get some consistency over the next few weeks.
And in the backs on one side of the centre wing partnership, you had Petr Hicku and Ben Pomeroy, and Petr put Ben in for trying his debut, which must have pleased you, must have pleased the fans, and must have pleased the players at the combine. Well,
Absolutely, they've got a good combination. They get on well, and you know they're both new to us, so they're both feeling their way and learning a bit about the team, but each other. But I thought they handled it really well out there, playing on the right edge together, and gave us a bit of scope for attack out there, as well as you know the left side doing really well and scoring some points as well. So you know it just gave us a bit more attack right across the park and a bit more threat. So that's important for us, and no, they both did really well.
And just speaking about Ben, I know I've spoken to you about Petr Heku. Basically, he's here till the end of the season. It's a case of you can see what he can do, he can show you what he can do, and then decide what you decide at the end of the season.
Yeah, or any time in between, really. But, you know, he's looking for an opportunity, and, you know, we're happy to give him an opportunity here. And at the moment, he's, you know, after one game, he's done a good job. But we'll assess things and say, well, he certainly put himself in the shop window, whether it's for us or somebody else. And we're happy to oblige. He gives us some more depth and gives us some more options in the position that he plays, because we've had some issues with our centres this year in terms of availability. So, you know, having a couple of different options now is a real treat for us.
So tomorrow you go to Wigan. Every game's a must-win game, I know that, but you've got to win that game to have a glimmer of a chance, if the results go right, to try and squeeze someone into that eight.
Yeah, that's true. But that's how the situation's been for a while, so nothing much has changed. Regardless of you know where we sit in the table or points, and you know it's important whenever you play Wigan, and there's a great rivalry between the two clubs, and you know a healthy respect for each other as well. But you know we've had some epic games against them so far this year, and we've played them a number of times, and I expect this one to be epic as well. So they're a high quality team, and you know we've got a number of players available to us now, and so are they, that probably haven't been available to each team throughout the season. So yeah, there's a lot of good reasons for us to perform well, but we want to build on what we did last week and get some confidence going again.
Oh, but you focus on the Warrington Wolves. They're just putting some form together with the return of these players, aren't they, going into these last two games before the split?
Yeah. Everybody wants to hit form now. You know, everybody wanted form earlier in the season too, but certainly at this time of the year, regardless of who you're playing, you want to be playing well at this stage of the year, and that's important for us.
You mentioned you've played them a few times. Do you feel that you own one? I mean, each game have been close, even the one down here.
I don't know about owning one. Nothing you can do about what's happened in the past in terms of changing the result. Or the outcome of anything that's gone in the past. But, the fact that we respect each other and understand the dangers that each other's team presents to each other, it's going to bring out the best in both teams. I've got no doubt about that. So it should be a good game and, you know, one that we're really looking forward to and hopefully can build on the form of last week.
And just finally, it was announced earlier on, I think yesterday, that Andre Savelli was going over to Brisbane Broncos for a 2-year contract. Whatever happened, well, when he's been here, he certainly made an impression against Brisbane that he's over that. He's going there.
Oh, I think he's been on Brisbane's radar for a couple of years now, and he considered it in the past, and I think the time's right for him. He's also got some family connection in that part of the world as well, so. You know, we're happy. He's done everything, you know, up front and by the book, and, you know, he goes with our blessing and hope he does well. He's going to challenge himself in a different arena, and a bit like Mike Cooper did a few years ago. And but Dre's been terrific in the way that he's done everything, and, you know, we wish him well, and we'll open our arms to him if he ever decides to return to this part of the world, and, you know, but he goes with our blessing.
Tony Smith there, talking about the game against Lee, the forthcoming game against Wigan, which, if you're in the hospital, you'll be able to have a listen to myself and Dave Birch on commentary tomorrow. And, also discussing there about Andre Savelio, it was a surprise move as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, he's not done bad. He's been an impact player for Warrington this season. But would you have took him to the NRL Certainly Brisbane Broncos have spotted something, that is for sure. I wonder how long he will stay over in Australia, or even how much NRL game time he will actually get.
This is Radio General.
Did you know that you can listen to Radio General from your mobile device on the internet? Well, tune in at radiogeneral.co.uk. Click the Listen Live link and enjoy Radio General away from your bed. Listen everywhere at radiogeneral.co.uk.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Yes, we certainly are the Final Hooter. I'm your host, Dave Parkinson. So what else have we got coming up over the course of the remainder of the show? Well, we're going to be talking in a little while about Danny Maguire, and he's called time on his career over at Headingley. We're going to be talking about the situation over at Swinton. We've got an interview with Rangi Chase, which Adrian Jackson did, and an interview with Sean O'Loughlin, which my friend Steve Manning also provided. So plenty to come, but let us dip our toes into the championship and here are the results. Batley Bulldogs 36, Dewsbury Rams 20, Bradford Bulls 10, Hull Kingston Rovers 42, London Broncos 52, Sheffield Eagles 16, Oldham 14, Featherstone Rovers 32, Rochdale Hornets 33, Swinton Lions 28, and Toulouse Olympique 8, Halifax 16. We'll put a little bit more meat on the bones of that after these next few words.
Are you planning an event in or around Warrington? Are you looking for that certain something to brighten up your day? Why not hire the Radio General Roadshow? Radio General can make all the difference to your fate, fun day or open day, playing music that brings your event alive. Call us today for a quote on Warrington 662122 or check out our website at www.radiogeneral.co.uk/roadshows. The Radio General Roadshow is the event.
OK, so let us pour a little bit more meat on the bones, like I was saying. So it was the Kingstone Press Championship round 21. And for Batley Bulldogs, there was two tries from Wayne Retty, six goals from six by Pat Walker, and that helped them to defeat Dewsbury Rams. Up until this point in the season, Dewsbury had actually beaten them two or three times, so it must be welcome relief for Matt Diskin and his squad. Perhaps it was expected that Hull Kingston Rovers would have defeated Bradford Bulls. After all, the Bulls are bottom of the league. But, you know, they did give a strong fight, to be honest, Bradford. It was only 18-10 at half-time. It turned into a bit of a walk-in in the last sort of 20 minutes as far as Hull Kingston Rovers were concerned. They scored three tries at the back end of the game, including a hat-trick from former Bradford Bull Danny Addy. London Broncos had that massive victory that was largely thanks to Ben Halliwell scoring four tries, and Appy Pefferangi as well scoring two. Jared Sammet kicking eight goals, as well as Sheffield Eagles were beaten heavily again, not for the first time this season. And Featherstone were very workmanlike in overcoming Oldham. At half time in that one, the Rovers led by 16 points to 4, and they doubled the points tally in that second half. It was an almighty clash over at Rochdale Hornets, with Danny Yates scoring a try and kicking four goals, which helped them defeat Swinton Lions, who had two tries themselves through Mike Butt. But ultimately, for the beleaguered Lions, it was a case of too little too late, unfortunately for them. Swinton actually led 20 points to 12 at half time, so Rochdale's comeback and overtaking in their second half is notable, to be honest. And Halifax, what a win for them. Toulouse, they've only lost once at home all season, and Halifax were able to overturn them. So great win on the road there. Narrow stuff as far as Halifax were concerned, but they were able to beat them. What that does to the league table is Hull Kingston Rovers way out on top. London Broncos have sewn up now a top four finish. Featherstone Rovers are in third with 31 points, 15 wins and a draw from their 21 matches, and Halifax have snuck up to fourth place. They're now 2 points clear of Toulouse Olympique. But Olympique do have a better point difference if they can get level with them on points on the league ladder. Into Kingstown Press League One, and there were some massive results over the course of the weekend. Barrow Raiders running an 80-10 win against Oxford. There was a couple of tries there from Morrow, three tries from Ezzy Harper, and 12 goals from a boot of Charnock. London Scholars had a welcome victory against Hunslet, a notable one, to be honest, as well, with two tries from Nash. Newcastle Thunder, they overcame Coventry Burghs by 68 points to 20. Danny Nicholas scoring two tries for Newcastle. Hardcastle ending with a try and 10 goals. It was all square at North Wales Crusaders, who fought out a 12-all draw with Whitehaven. And there was also another draw between Workington Town and Keighley, notable because Workington Town actually led by 22 points to 4 at half time. They had a couple of tries from Doran there, but the Cougars, they were also resplendent as well. Gabriel scoring two tries, Kelly scoring two tries, and really it was a good point earned by the Keighley Cougars, who also had a man sent off after 53 minutes. So a notable comeback there against the odds up at Workington for Keighley Cougars. The other games from the round 14 of the Kingstown Press League One: South Wales Ironmen 12, Doncaster 70. Couple of tries apiece for Spears, for Doherty, and Sheriff, with Miller scoring a try and kicking 9 goals. Profitable week, by the way, for Miller. Doncaster also played last Wednesday night, with Doherty scoring a hat-trick, Miller scoring 2 tries on that particular occasion, and kicking 3 goals. So 2 wins in the space of a week sees Doncaster creep up the table. They currently find themselves 6th on the Kingstown Press League One position and ladder. Toronto Wolfpack had a resounding 62 points to 10 victory over Gloucestershire All Golds, who were always competitive but could never really score. Toronto led 34 points to 6 at half time. It was another big day for Hall, the centre scoring 2 tries and kicking 9 goals. He's having an absolute field day in that third tier. And the only other game that we haven't mentioned, York City Knights defeating Hemel Stags by 68 points to 6. And there was two really outstanding games, or performances, I should say, from a couple of York players. If I can just find the report in front of me. There we go. Now, Liam Harris, the standoff, he scored 4 tries and kicked 8 goals. Now, my maths isn't great, but I make that 32 points. And also the winger David Foggin Johnston, who once upon a time was on the academy register at Warrington, he also scored 4 tries as well. So it was a profitable day, and the York City Knights winning comfortably in the end. We've heard just before the Tony Smith giving away the fact that it's Wigan and Warrington this coming weekend. A look at some of the other fixtures. Kingstown Press Championship, for example, sees Batley take on Bradford, Featherstone take on Halifax, Hull Kingston Rovers take on Toulouse, and Rochdale, they host the London Broncos. Oldham have to travel over to Wakefield to play Sheffield, and Dewsbury Rams there on the road against the Swinton Lions. In the Kingstown Press League One, Toronto at home again, this time facing the Hemel Stags. Coventry at home to North Wales Crusaders. Doncaster travelling down to Gloucestershire All Golds this time. Newcastle are on the travels as well to Hunslet. Keighley host Oxford. London Scholars are at home to the South Wales Ironmen. There's an interesting Cumbrian derby of sorts between Whitehaven and Barrow, so there's definitely going to be a second and third place on the line in that one, I feel. And York City Knights just waiting to try and also push themselves up the table and maybe just sneak a little bit higher. They're at home to Workington Town. I said that we'd have a look at a couple of the issues around in rugby league, and I just wanted to really, I suppose, acknowledge Danny Maguire, because he's announced that he's moving on from Leeds at the end of the season. We don't know whether it's going to be to another club or whether he's going to hang up the boots altogether and pack in, but this is a fella, a 34-year-old that has been at Leeds since he was 12 years old. So he really has made an impression over there at Headingley. In total, he scored 262 tries for the club in over 400 games, and that puts him fourth in the all-time list, behind only Alan Smith, who scored 283 in his career, John Atkinson, who scored 340, and leading try scorer at the club, Eric Harris, who got 391 touchdowns in his career. Maguire said, "I'm pleased to have made the decision now so I can focus on the remainder of this season and finishing my times at the Rhinos in the best possible way. I've been honoured to play alongside some of the greatest players in the game's history, and I remember seeing how special it was for Danny Badiris, Kevin Sinfield, Jamie Peacock and Kylie Lulai to finish their time as a Rhino at the very top, and that is my aim now. When I was a youngster coming through the academy, I got my opportunity because a senior player moved on, and now is the right time for me and the club to give our talented young players their opportunity. I've been at the club since I was 12 and spent my entire adult life so far here. It is all I've ever known, but there are exciting challenges ahead, and I know that the door is always open for me here at Headingley. I would like to thank Gary Hetherington and Brian McDermott for giving me the opportunity to decide my next action. I will now take time to look at my options moving forward. I'm in no rush to make definite plans about next season and beyond. I'm not ready to say my goodbyes just yet. We are currently second in the league and in the Challenge Cup semi-final, and that is where my attention is focused now. Now, over his time at Headingley, Maguire's collected 7 Grand Final winners' rings, as well as 3 World Club Challenge titles, 3 League Leaders' Shields, and 2 Challenge Cup final victories. So he's a real decorated player. It's like the end of an era. Leeds boss Brian McDermott, he added, "In the decades to come, Danny's achievements will only become more impressive. As well as all the silverware and match-winning plays he's come up with, perhaps the most impressive thing about Danny is the way he has adapted and evolved his game to suit both his teammates and the game in general. I'm sure he will take that adaptability with him into whatever he decides to do next and will be a champion as always. There are few people who are more determined to succeed than Danny, and I know he will be giving his absolute all in the remaining months of the season to finish on the highest possible note." Fantastic. He has led a stellar career there, to be honest. Another man that is celebrating a landmark this coming weekend is Sean O'Loughlin. Now, the Wigan skipper is in line to make his 400th Wigan appearance, and Steve Manning, he caught up with him just today.
Well, Sean, can you recollect 399 games ago, your debut against Hull?
Not really, no. I can't really recollect ones from this year. So all I remember about my first Super League game was how hard it was. I think I played in a friendly that year. I think I played about 20 minutes in a friendly beginning that season, and then that first game was, yeah, I just remember my heart feeling like it was going to beat out my chest and arms and legs feeling heavy, and yeah, but after the game it was the best feeling ever. I'd got my first game under my belt, and I think we got the win as well. I can't remember.
And could you have anticipated then that you'd be where you are today, you know, coming up to your 400th game?
Not really, no. It's, at the time, you just especially at the beginning, you just want to be in the side, you just want to be playing. I think at that time I was squad number 22, I think, and I was in when players were injured. I think as the season went on, I kind of started to establish myself a little bit more, but I think your thoughts as a kid are just getting in the team, whatever spot it was. I think majority of my games that first year or two were off the bench and just coming on doing a job wherever they wanted me.
I suppose being Wigan born and bred, and you played at Wigan St Pat's, so the dream would be to play for your hometown club, and you've achieved that.
Yeah, it's again, any kid what watches rugby in Wigan or plays in Wigan, the dream would be to kick on and represent your club. But yeah, I think just that enjoyment was always what came first, spending time with friends and enjoying my rugby. I think St Pat's, the club I came through, was great at doing that. It's produced some really good players, and I think a lot of that was on the back of kids wanting to go there and enjoying them, playing with the mates and a good club like that.
And apart from your coaches, how much influence did your family have in relation to taking up the game and trying to get where you got to?
Yeah, I mean, majority of my siblings, my cousins, they all played rugby. My dad and my uncle, they both represented Wigan, so as I said, always had a ball in my hand, and probably from being young, I always had a Wigan jersey on as well. So it was, yeah, that was what I always wanted to do.
I think you recall your standout 2010 when you were involved with winning trophies as captain.
Yeah, all the trophies I've won, I don't think I'll ever forget those, but I think just the time between success at the club at that time was a lot, was I think something like, for me personally, I think it was about 8 years before I got a chance to get my hands on some silver. So yeah, to get that one in 2010 was really special.
So they are in and out this weekend for your 400th playing against Warrington Wolves, and it just down as Warrington Wolves when you scored your first try in your career.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter actually the other day. I think the club put it on, so I think I've lost a yard or two pairs since then. But yeah, it's good. It's good looking back at footage. You don't get too many chances to see some of the old games, so when they pop up on that, it's nice to see.
And this game, it's an important, I mean, they're all important, but now you're on a mini run, and you've got to keep it going, haven't you? And you could also destroy Warrington's chances of any chance of getting into the eights.
Yeah, I think both, obviously they're playing to get in the eight, we're playing to kind of creep up higher in the eight, so it's, yeah, both a lot to play for, but we're not really, as I said, we're not really focusing on Warrington's situation too much. It's more about us getting as much as we can do at these eights, and then, as I said, kicking on once we break off, and then having a good crack at getting to a final.
What will it mean leading them out on your 400th game this weekend?
Yeah, it'll be special. I think the club makes a lot of the landmarks players make in the 50th, the 100th, whatever kind of milestone we get to, it's the club does make it special. So yeah, I'm sure the boys will be enjoy it as much as I will.
Sean said last year that was the most multitude journey to win a grand final. How much is this similar, and will this be a bigger achievement if they can do it?
It probably is very similar. I think last year we had a probably more mid season. We had a big period where we couldn't buy a win. We had people out, kids were in there, and we were just struggling to pick up results. And I think it was the back end of the year we had a real run in the once we'd broken up into the eights, we had a real run at it at the end, and then just kicked on in the playoffs and got our hands on a trophy. And yeah, I think this season is probably similar. I think when you come into the eights, it's all about timing and who can pick up the form the best.
Steve Manning there with the facts. I had no idea that Sean O'Loughlin scored the first two tries of his career against Warrington.
You're listening to the Feel Better Station.
Radio General.
But just thinking about Sean O'Loughlin there, what a servant he's been to Wigan. I mean, 400 games is a notable number, isn't it? And it's a shame that he's had a few injury issues over the last few years as well, because that tally could have been very much higher. But he has eventually reached that mark. And he's going to be a very proud man when he leads out Wigan in the game against Warrington tomorrow night.
You're listening to the Feel Better Station.
Radio General.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Yes, so we're in the midst of the final hooter here on Radio General and also via loverugbyleague.com. I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. What have we got still to come? Well, in the next few minutes, I'll be turning my attentions to Swinton. It's been one heck of a worrying time if you've been a Swinton fan as of late. Just reading about all the information that has come out in the open recently, it was established that the Lions needed around £50,000 by the end of this month to pay off an historical tax debt and meet commitments to both players and coaching staff. A further £50,000 then needs to be found to get them to the end of the season. There's been a whole list of players that have had their say via social media about various expenses that haven't been covered, about late payments, defaults on medical bills and that type of stuff as well. And it really does seem, and very sadly, that the club has got itself into a bit of a pickle, whether they've stretched themselves a little bit too far to go for a top four finish in the Championship. I don't know. It's a good squad there at Swinton, and I thought that something must have been up for them not to be performing perhaps in the way that was expected. But with that in the background, it just shows you what a top job John Duffy is actually doing. Now, there's two directors at Swinton at the moment, Steve Wild and Alan Marshall, and they're currently in talks with potential new investors and hope to have some positive news by the end of the week. They're talking to a couple of interested parties, and they'll know where they'll be at hopefully by Thursday. He told the League Express that Sale FC, the landlords, have been absolutely brilliant and have a lot of ideas for moving things forward once those obstacles have been overcome. The fans have also been superb. They've raised, get this, £15,000 in the space of a week. And if you look at social media, there's lots of things that are ongoing. It's a very stressful time, I would imagine, though. And having been through something very similar with Lee Centurions and trying to raise money myself, I can fully sympathise. It just seems that Swinton have lurched from one crisis to another, from one place to another. I just hope that they can get beyond this, they can start looking forward, and that they can really and truly build. Let's hope that they can continue. And what I would actually implore is, whilst other people's focus may be on regarding a Super League fixture, you know, so for example, Thursday night sees Wigan against Warrington, Friday night sees Castleford against Salford, Huddersfield against Lee, Leeds v Hull, and Widnes against Wakefield. What I would urge is fans from those clubs, certainly those over this side of the Pennines over in Lancashire, who are closer to where Swinton are based, to get themselves down possibly to Swinton on Sunday when they play against Dewsbury Rams. A, because they need the support, and B, that is going to be one heck of a game. I've seen Dewsbury a couple of times over the last few weeks, and they're a much improved outfit under Neil Kelly, that is for sure. He's definitely adding the Midas touch there, it would be fair to say. Right, going back to Super League, and there was a couple of stories that broke at Widnes Vikings last week. One of them concerned the signing of youngster Danny Walker committing himself to a long-term deal at the club. The other concerned a well-travelled halfback, Rangi Chase. He's been there, and he's been on form, it would be fair to say. He really has made an impression. Our man Adrian Jackson had a chat with Rangi last week after it was revealed he'd signed a two-year deal.
Rangi Chase, brand new two-year contract for yourself here at Widnes. Must be pleased to get that security.
Yeah, mate, it's overwhelming. It's good. It's good to, like you say, get their security for the next 2 years. But I just came here just to, with the attitude, just to play, get some decent footy behind me, and play some longer minutes. And the way that, you know, it suited me the way they play, and it's I've been rewarded with a 2 year deal, and it's I feel no better way to give back as well to sign, because they're showing that, you know, they gave me an opportunity, so I'm very grateful for that. And signing in another two years show, you know, how grateful I am for the opportunity that the club gave me, you know.
Initially it was only to the end of the season, so what made you choose Widnes to be your next club for the next part of your career?
Oh, just everything about it, you know. The way the coaching staff get on well with them, but the fans are unbelievable, but just a group of boys, man, I'm enjoying the lads, you know. I've got a good group of lads here, and yeah. I really like it, and I really enjoy it. Every one of them. So a lot of them play a big part of me staying here, you know.
Signed alongside Danny Walker, good youngster coming through, so will you be looking to pass that experience on to Danny Walker?
Yeah, well, as you get a bit older, You know, it's feel like it's your job to pass your knowledge, you know, what you've learnt in the game, and, you know, and that's sort of what us older experienced guys do as well. You know, we just give tips or tell them what to do and tell them what not to do. I'm probably a perfect example for that. But it's good to see some young exciting talent coming, signing on, and we've got some good young talent here. So, it's, you know, I've still got a lot of improvement in my game, and hopefully it can rub off on some of these young blokes.
Mentioned you've enjoyed your rugby since you've been at Widnes. Are you happy within yourself?
Yeah, mate, I'm happy. Yeah. I was enjoying it at Castleford as well. Just my game time wasn't much, but I was enjoying it there. And now I'm enjoying it here as well. So I get my hands on the ball a lot, and I think I've improved every game. So hopefully I can just keep improving and just keep them standards there and drive them standards and training as well.
And a fantastic reception from the Widnes fans. They'll be chuffed to bits at you here for another 2 years.
Yeah, I hope so. They've been unbelievable, mate, the fans. You know, they're a big reason as well why I wanted to stay. There's no better feeling when fans are chanting your name on, you know. When I first came over here, I got, you know, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and it still does. So, mate, I love it, and the atmosphere here has been good the last couple of weeks. And hopefully we can just, you know, we just keep the fans coming in, and hopefully the likes of me signing and young Danny keeps the fans excited.
So there he is, Rangi Chase, the man of the moment over at Widnes Vikings. They're in some pretty good form at home, it must be said, but hoping to eradicate and erase that 40-0 defeat against Huddersfield pretty quick. They're at home to Wakefield on Friday. We're just about done and dusted for this edition of the Final Hooter on Radio General and via loveRugbyLeague.com. Hope you've enjoyed the show. My thanks go to Steve Manning for the sterling work that he's done on interviews, and also to Adrian Jackson as well. Hopefully Jack will be back in the hot seat very, very soon, but we'll head off for now.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.